That's Wikiversity user CQ on the guitar welcoming you to this Wikiversity Campus Radio interview. In the interview you're about to listen to, user Chris Moe will be interviewing Lee Blackall. They'll be having a back and forth discussion about licensing learning resources on websites such as Wikiversity, WikiEducator. The discussion will be getting hot and heavy into issues of licenses for educational resources. So you'll hear Chris Moe mentioning that Wikiversity is licensed under the GNU Free Documentation License, the GFDL license. And you'll hear Lee Blackall discussing share-alike licenses and Creative Commons attribution licenses. If you're not familiar with all of this terminology and all of the legalese for licensing online content, follow along at the Wiki Campus Radio webpage. There's a bunch of links there to web resources that explain various options for licensing learning resources and online materials. The interview took place on very short notice, so we thank Chris Moe and Lee Blackall for participating under these circumstances. The next voice is Chris Moe.
Welcome to Wiki Campus Radio. Yeah, thanks for that, Charlie. Hello, everybody out there. Special guest today from New Zealand, Lee Blackall.
Hey,
here to talk about network learning, Web 2.0, all things online education. Lee Blackall, would you like to introduce yourself, Lee?
Okay, I'm down in Dunedin, which is way down south of New Zealand. I originally come from Australia, and I'm fairly new to, I don't know how you describe it, the freedom culture movement that I think you guys work within. I come from mainly, I think I'm pretty influenced by American educational bloggers and their use of just whatever comes, you know, from Flickr to, Google Maps and all of those little tools that have all had a buzzword put to them called Web 2. So I come from that perspective and trying to find my way through the free culture movement and hitting a lot of funny speed bumps along the way. And so really I'm just in here to sort of get to know it a bit more and find out what sort of things that you guys talk about and see if I can find out some answers to some of the problems that I get. Most recently, I guess, is a discussion having through WikiEducator and the Teach and Learn Online email list relating to the copyright license, Creative Commons attribution, share alike, and some difficulties we have in an educational institution here, that is, in using any content with share alike license on there. And even though I put up a few real-life scenarios of why share-alike is a difficult thing to use, I seem to get the same argument back to me, which is something to do with copyleft or the perpetuation of growth of free content and free culture, which is the intention behind share-alike, I suppose. So find myself at a bit of an impasse because it feels a little bit non-negotiable on it that share alike license will continue to be used and support for just attribution license won't be offered or something like that. And what I'd like to see is the possibility for CC BY content to grow and exist on something like WikiEducator so that our institution could use content and not just contribute.
On Wikiversity we use the GNU Free Documentation License. So some of the media like images, audio, we also have the choice of using CC BY, public domain, the GNU licenses, And we don't really have that problem, the same problems. All the content and all the educational works are free to use. So what is the problem with using copyleft or share-alike material?
I've used three examples, which are probably the most common, and the only one that seems to get respect is the problem we have with minority cultures or minority groups who are sensitive about the reappropriation of their cultural artifacts. So that might be indigenous cultures, or it might be other minority groups who are sensitive for some, usually due to some form of abuse in the past of their cultural artifacts. So they may not be willing to relicense derivative works that come from a share alike, and I think free documentation also requires re-releasing of derivative works. I could be wrong on that. They may not be willing to basically relicense derivative works for remixing, because they want to retain a control of the remix of their cultural artifacts. So that's the only one that seems to be getting respect of the three scenarios I put out. The other scenarios is in an educational institution, we're a training organisation, so we teach plumbers to designers to engineers and stuff like that. And very often we have to provide training services in companies. So we might go to a company and we might take our educational resources, mix it with their educational resources to provide custom-made training services to their staff. And so similarly to the cultural sensitivity group, is that this group may not be enlightened for free culture, they may not be partial to the idea of sharing content, they may be right down the intellectual property copyright license road. And so if we were to mix any of our content with theirs, and if our content drew from any share-alike content, then we'd be in a bit of a problem, because we'd be putting share-alike content in with theirs and then not be able to service the share-alike agreement, which is to redistribute with the same license. So basically, I mean, that's only two scenarios of a daily problem that we might have with such a restriction on copyright.
Have you done any research on Wikipedia about those indigenous cultures? For example, I look at the entry for Maori, and some of the carvings and works they have there, the public domain. So it seems that they're already sharing a lot of their cultural material for education, for
that
educational purposes.
That would be some iwis, which is a word given to describe a group like a clan, would be contributing content that is approved for license to that way. So that is, a select iwi has decided that they will license their material that way, and only material that they're willing to. So there's a whole, I mean, the carvings you see on Wikipedia are not just the carvings, recordings of songs and anything like that. That's all material that's been passed through their elders, so to speak. But there's a lot of content that would never appear on Wikipedia. The word for it is tapu. I think it's spelled T-A-P-U-A. Well, I'm not sure about that, actually, how it's spelled anyway, but it's certainly pronounced tapu down here in South. And it's the missionaries interpret it as sacred knowledge, but it's a bit of an inaccurate interpretation, I've been told. But essentially it's restriction, that some knowledge is restricted in that way and some is not. And so that's what I'm talking about, is the knowledge of the cultural artifacts that are still restricted, that we may need to find ourselves working with. Another example that I wish Alex was here for, because Alex speaks of an example when he was doing his moblogging project, and he was working with an indigenous community in Western Australia, and all I'm doing is sort of telling the story from memory, but they were teaching kids in indigenous Australia communities how to take photographs with a mobile phone and send it into, I think it was to moblog.co.uk. And the platform was using Creative Commons Attribution License. It may have been some other Creative Commons license, but from memory it was that one. And the elders of that community piped up when I think somebody discovered that Coca-Cola was sampling images of kids with Coca-Cola t-shirts on and using it in promotional material. So obviously the elders had a problem with that.
In that case, wouldn't copyleft protect those works?
No, because the Coca-Cola is within its rights to remix the images, so long as if it was copyleft, so long as they relicense it back. So there's nothing stopping Coca-Cola using the images, so long as Coca-Cola uses the share-alike license or copyleft license. So what they were worried about is the appropriation of their culture.
So wouldn't that be the same situation with CC BY, but they could place even more restrictions on those images?
Well, yeah, exactly. What they want to do is have all restrictions, all rights reserved in that case, so that they can retain control of the use of their images.
Because, I have a little experience with the Murray people. The Indigenous Australians in my local area are the Murray.
Oh, yeah.
And
the river, right? Murray.
No. Murray in Queensland.
Okay.
I'm not really an expert on the topic, but I went and visited them in Musgrave Park, and they were more than happy to share their knowledge with me and have it included in Wikipedia.
Yeah, I don't think you can speak generally about people. I think it's no good to attach yourself too strongly to the specific examples. I think what I'm really talking about is a minority group, or not even a minority group, anybody who is sensitive about the reappropriation of their cultural artifacts, their images or anything like that, should have the freedom to say that they want to restrict reuse of that material. Now,
they also have the freedom to say that they'd like the freedom to be protected. And they are a minority group.
I don't understand. I think you're talking about your Murray people.
Yes,
right?
Yes, the Murray people. Possibly not all of them would agree with that stance, but the ones that shared their knowledge with me, I explained Wikipedia to them and what freedom means to me to them, and they were more than happy to have this knowledge included in Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia, and have their works protected by the GNU Free Documentation License.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. What I'm talking about is when a platform only offers support for a license, and that's Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike in the example I'm talking about, and doesn't give anybody the ability to say, I need to further restrict that. But the situation is that our organisation may need to, would want to use content from WikiEducator, the same as we contribute. We contribute our content to WikiEducator, and our default license is Creative Commons Attribution, but because we're using the WikiEducator platform, we then use the Share Alike license. But then when we take content from that, and if we find ourselves in a situation with a group, a company, or any other situation who they need to restrict the content for whatever reasons, even though we would do the same as what you did and talk to them about the worth of free culture and the protections that they could have, if they still decide that they want to restrict the content, then we can't work with them because we've got content that has a share-alike license on it. If we didn't have content with a share-alike license on it, then we would still be free to work with those people and mix our content with their content.
But wouldn't you still need to negotiate to use their content? Like, isn't it the same situation? How does being able to restrict that?
We always would negotiate it the same as you ever always would, but if we have content that goes with theirs that has a share-alike license on it, then there really is no negotiation unless we go through and talk to everybody who's contributed the share-alike license and ask if they will change their license in this case.
But to learn about their culture, wouldn't you still need to work with them?
Yeah, that's right. We work with them.
So having that content, you would still need them to learn about their culture to
make sure
the quality of that content is okay. So perhaps if WikiEducator could get some Maori people working under contract for them and contributing to WikiEducator, wouldn't this be a way to solve the problem?
No, it's not, because some individuals, the way I understand it, like, for example, our institution has representatives from the Ngāi Tahu iwi who can advise on certain things like this, but there is a limit to what they can advise on, and so we may have to go and consult.
How is this limit? Is this limit by negotiating through other people? Like, if we negotiated directly with them, put them in to contribute whatever they'd like to free cultural works, you don't think that they'd be interested in contributing to WikiEducator themselves, that they would need to go through your institution?
No, that's right. They can contribute and to WikiEducator themselves. In fact, if they discovered WikiEducator or Wikipedia or any of those before we came along and showed them and said, you know, we'd like to collaborate on this platform here, then that's all fine. There's no stopping that. So we're not any sort of filter or control on that sort of thing. But if they,
because I noticed there are some special documents like that, the treaty, and maybe they have some memoirs or essays, and for those kind of works, we shouldn't be able to modify other people's memoirs or treaties and those kind of things.
So they're
a separate kind of work.
That's right, yeah, and that's where we sort of got to, is where there are separate works such as a photograph, a chart, or things that just don't make sense to remix, not only morally or just practically not remixing, then they can have their own independent rights to them, which is what you said about Wikiversity. A picture could have a public domain on it, or a treaty scan facsimile could have a public domain or whatever license on it. But it's not that. It may be a translation done by an individual of a particular belief story or something like that, then that there, for a start, the story may not be allowed to be made public for remixing. They may not want anybody to translate it further. They may say that this translation is the one we're comfortable with and we don't want anybody translating it further from there. So it's hard to speak about specific examples because I'm not the one privileged to the knowledge that may need to be protected. All I know is that the share-alike restriction places problems with this if we need to mix share-alike content in with content that needs to be protected or restricted from any remixing.
Well, some of those works, they're separate kind of works. You could create a companion guide, or you could get those people involved in developing free cultural work. Like, is there any Maoris or anyone from Otago actually contributing to WikiEducator, or do you represent the interests of Otago?
I certainly don't represent the interests of Ngāi Tahu, which is the group of Māori down here in Otago, across more than Otago, South Island. All I'm doing is speaking from experience that just yesterday I went to a person who is from Ngāi Tahu, and we're working on the development of resources to teach in a subject, occupational therapy, and it's to do with social justice and all that sort of stuff. And he presented WikiEducator as a possible platform to collaborate on. And I didn't point to the license at that point because I knew that there were already sensitivities about remixing cultural products from that group.
Is it remixing or actually just modifying?
Both.
Because, yeah, some of those works, we shouldn't be able to modify them. So, it's with copyright law, it's fairly complex, and usually you have to go through case by case, and simply putting everything in the public domain might not be the best idea, and that might not be what they want.
Now, I think you're misinterpreting what I'm trying to say there, is that, let's say, I'm trying not to focus on that specific example. I've given specific examples to try and describe the situation with
but,
more to do
as
with
a,
this.
As an educator, don't you think you should have educated them about share alike and the range of free cultural the licenses used in all free cultural work?
Yeah. If I had the luxury to say, hey everybody, stop what you're doing for an hour, I'm going to give you a presentation on share alike. Now that luxury may come, but all I really get is in a meeting talking about a vast range of things to do with development, from everything from how to get a PowerPoint presentation in a more reusable format to how to get audio to go to slides and all that sort of stuff, and then it's just the practicalities of using that technology. Then I might get about 5 minutes to say, hey, you know, Wikipedia, well, there's something similar in education called WikiEducator or Wikiversity, and maybe you want to think about that at some point. And that's 5 minutes past, and they go, they kind of may just look at me and go, okay, I don't know why you brought that up, or they may go, wow, okay, I'd like to know more about that. It's pretty rare that they say, wow, I'd like to know more about that, because
so,
most people are still
because you're busy teaching them or training them to use proprietary technology, they're not made aware of free cultural work?
No, it's not. I don't teach them to use PowerPoint. I encourage them and install them on OpenOffice, and I say, here, if you open your PowerPoint in here, it's very easy to turn it into a PDF or even a Shockwave file. But better still is if we can get them into individual images. So I'm not teaching them proprietary software and all of that sort of stuff. I'm trying to get them to move from where they are into where you are, but where you are
because
is miles beyond where they are.
Because maybe if they were knowledgeable about the software they're using, they'd have a better understanding of what free culture is all about. Instead of their work being restricted and locked away.
Yeah, that's going to take some time. I mean, you look at me as an example, is that I actively go out of my way to use the free software wherever practical. In fact, offends people in my organization when I say I'd rather have Ubuntu on there because I really want to force myself into learning this. Otherwise, I'd be quite comfortable on the Windows operating system and get by on that. But I'm one person who's doing that and is willing to inconvenience myself in the environment that I work. There's no way everyone else is going to do that. So the best I can do is look for opportunities to introduce some of these concepts, and I'm never going to get the floor to talk about that for more than an hour, especially if the software that you're talking about doesn't quickly do what they need to do. Because what they need to do interoperates with the system that has been set up for them.
What about at Otago Polytechnic? Is there any Maori people working there?
Otago.
So how do you pronounce that? The name of your institution?
The name of my institution, Otago Polytechnic.
Yes, do they have any Maori people there involved in online learning?
Not that I'm aware. I've only just started a project with a person there from Ngaitahu in developing content for online learning.
That seems like a bit of a problem.
What seems like a problem?
I'm just looking up your institution now. I just think it's interesting that Otago Polytechnic is kind of representing some kind of cultural stance for Maori people. And there are no Maori people working there.
Now, just to be clear on that, Chris, I'm not representing Maori people. I was giving an example, such as I gave an example in Central Western Australia, of why the share-alike license may propose difficulties to us in certain situations. I'd rather speak just generally about minority or culturally sensitive groups. So hope you're not trying to twist my words that I notice is being recorded, and that could really hurt me over here if I was made out to be somebody representing Maori or Ngaitahu people. But there are certainly Ngāti representatives working at Otago Polytechnic, advising on things like the treaty, giving treaty workshops to people who work here, making sure that we adhere to basic agreements between Ngāti and Pākehā is what they call European people here. But all of this, concentrating on that specific example, sidetracks what I'm really trying to say, is that cultural situations aside, the commercial situation, which is probably a less sensitive issue to talk about, is presents us with a situation where we may not be able to mix content that we have sampled with share-alike license. Now, if that situation ever presents itself to us, which it probably would on a day-to-day basis, it actually does, then we can't fill out. Can I just finish on that? We can't fill our library databases with content that will compromise us in that situation. So a simple scenario would be, if I'm looking for images on, say, the Flickr Creative Commons database, I will only search for images from the attribution database. I won't go any further than attribution database because I can't be sure that the situation I'm going to be in using that image will honour the restrictions of the other pictures. So if there's a non-commercial, then I can't guarantee that I'll be in a non-commercial situation. If there's even a share-alike, I can't guarantee that I'll be in a share-alike situation. So I would choose, as a content developer for educational purposes at the Otago Polytechnic, to only use attribution images because it gives me the maximum amount of flexibility in any situation I may find myself in. So that's really what I'm trying to say on that. Bogging down on the specific example, because I don't know why you want to focus, I guess it's the same Wiki Educator. The cultural one seems to really grab people and focus on it. But it's simply that, is the practicalities of having databases of resources with multiple licenses on them just won't work. We need to have content that we can sample from that gives us the maximum amount of flexibility.
So that's because of the restrictions other people are placing on you.
That's right. That's the restrictions of people that we work with who may not be ready to look at a Creative Commons license on their contributions. Now, Otago Polytechnic has drafted an intellectual property policy that says all content from Otago Polytechnic will hold Creative Commons attribution license. Now, that's just in draft stage. We've got to get it past all the partners, all the academic council, and all of that sort of thing. But the gesture is there. But there is a proviso saying that unless individuals have a problem with that, basically. So if any individual, so first thing it says is that all individuals who create content own that content. It's their content. That's opposed to most institutions to say, if you work for us and you're creating content, then it's the institution's content. We've gone different to that. But if it's presented or published on any Otago Polytechnic platform, the default license will be Creative Commons Attribution, unless you indicate specifically that you don't wish that to be. And then they just go and fill out a little form and make it known to the web developer, whoever, whatever platform's developing it, so we make sure that that particular item has a restriction on it the way they would like to have it.
Could this mean they could go full copyright if they wanted to?
It does mean that they could go full copyright, yep. And so, but the default is for it to be Creative Commons Attribution, so most people will probably let the default flow through. At the moment, the default, of course, as we all know, is All Rights Reserved. But we're just changing it around so that the default is Creative Commons Attribution, unless anyone, for a particular reason, cultural, commercial, or just their own way of thinking, says that I want to keep restrictions on that. So I think that's a reasonable first step to take for changing the culture of intellectual property in the organisation and to slowly build awareness. I don't think the legal mechanisms of share alike and the belief that share alike and similar things will mechanically build free culture. I don't think that's going to create a positive sign, positive feeling for free culture anytime soon.
Without share alike or copyleft, won't that just allow them to build even more walls?
It depends on whether you have optimism or not on this sort of thing. I mean, if you look at the Flickr database, for as an example, there's like almost 4 million images licensed Creative Commons attribution, and they're struggling to be 2.5 million on Share Alike. Admittedly, though, there are 12 million licensed to Share Alike non-commercial. But I think what's interesting is that there are more attribution-only images than there are Share Alike images.
By what, like, by around a million?
Are you talking about...
Half a million.
Have you looked at the Wiki Commons?
Yeah, I've looked at Wiki Commons and mostly find, if I'm looking for video or audio, unfortunately, we don't, we do have a player now that plays the audio and video formats there, but that's an aside.
I'm not too sure Flickr's an educational, has an educational focus.
No, it doesn't have an educational focus, and that's probably what makes it beneficial.
It's just anyone with a camera, pretty much, anyone with a digital camera.
But it is a platform that's offering the use of all of those licenses, all Creative Commons licenses, and so it is a quick reference survey of what everyday users, not specifically in education or any other field, what specifically they're choosing when they're offered all of those licenses options, as publishers, that is.
I was wondering, Lee, what are the objectives of the actual people down here that you're helping? What is it they're wanting to do with online content? What do they want to do with it?
Okay, so I'm not going to focus on the specifics of the Naitahu people, because that has only been going for no more than an hour. It's just that I know that situation will come up eventually if we do get too sensitive content of some sort.
I'm talking about the people you are working with. The people you are working with. What are they wanting to do?
All right. So, for a start, I work from teachers of all different departments, and at the moment I'm working with teachers from a tourism department to a horticulture department, and from time to time I go into meetings with people from design. And most of them still carry with them the perspective, and that's been about 10 or 15 years in the making, that educational content is somehow a commodity worth money to the organization. So that's the intellectual property line, and that they subscribe to the copyright thinking.
I would agree with that.
So, say again?
I would agree with that. It's educational works are worth quite a lot.
Yeah, whether or not they're worth money, I'm not too sure. When compared to what they're worth on an open platform for people to access, contribute to, share, and you know, mix into, and all of that sort of stuff.
Oh, they're worth even more then.
Yeah, I agree. And so it's just getting people to think...
Because they're more accessible, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. It's just getting people to think about the accessibility of their resources. Whether or not their resources exist only on the content management system of username, password, and pay your fee to access, or whether or not they're worth more on an open platform like Wikiversity or Wikipedia or Wikipedia or YouTube or Flickr or any of those sort of things. And generally speaking, they are worth more on public or open access. And so once you get people that I work with thinking a little bit outside of their box at that point, then things get interesting, because there's also the perception that their bosses would prefer that they develop learning resources on the learning management system that we're using. And so it's a bit of a funny political game to try and get people to understand that, our top bosses, who are the ones who drafted the Creative Commons Attribution Policy, actually appreciate the openness and sharing potential that would increase the worth of the resources and make developing content more efficient and more productive.
Do you think even works like scientific papers that express someone's point of view or experience, they should even be modified, or for some social reason they should be allowed to be used commercially? Or because usually with those kind of works, they only publish verbatim copies, at least for a period of time.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think they should be out there, and I think that people should be able to, what do you mean, modify or remix or challenge the authenticity or correctness or whatever. I mean, I think that's obviously beneficial academically speaking, that sort of dialogue happens in whatever way.
Or like a research paper that sort of speculates, or someone's giving their opinion. Do you really think we should be able to modify their opinion and, in a way, misrepresent them? Wouldn't that misrepresent them?
Yeah, no, I think that's the moral obligations, right? I mean, and you're talking about a critique, I suppose. I mean, I certainly don't think anyone should do that, to modify as though that author's opinion was this now. If you're making any changes and then re-signing it as though it was their opinion and their authorship, then that's pretty questionable stuff. But if you are appropriating quotes from them, you know, the same way the media does, you take a quote, put it out of context and present it that way, well, that's just the way it all works. And I guess if we're all on an open platform, then scrupulous researchers would be able to see the truth when comparing the quote and the misquote, or the out-of-context quote. But if the researcher was to publish their material on a closed system, and then somebody got their hands on that and then used those quotes in misappropriation, then it'd be more difficult for people to compare the two versions, because the true version is on a closed system and it's not accessible to something like a Google search, whereas the untrue version is more accessible through the Google search. And then perception becomes truth.
And also a similar situation with maybe they have some traditional songs that they sing.
Yes. Who's that? You're talking about the Ngāti again?
Oh, just in general, anyone.
Yeah, on that example, and I don't know the exact detail, but it came up yesterday, is there's a local story that gets told, and it has some taboos in Western thinking in it. And if that story is not told correctly in the lecture, as part of the cultural understanding workshops that they do, if that lecture is not told properly, with a lot of emphasis and a lot of time spent on it, then Westerners will walk away only remembering the taboo in their terms. They're not actually remembering the story. So there's a lot of anxiety about a particular story being told incorrectly or in an incorrect manner, or with a lack of respect, and sort of both problems, you know, the taboos of Western culture not being the same as taboos of the local culture. And therefore, the story, because the Western culture is the dominant one here, gets kind of warped or skewed a little bit. That's the level of cultural sensitivity that maybe we deal with from time to time.
So, to raise cultural awareness, we use education. So if we're restricted, or if we apply restrictions to those works, How can we learn more about their culture?
Yeah, speaking too generally about education, what if you've got a replacement teacher who's just come in, they pick up the course that's being delivered, the real teacher, the one who's qualified to teach it, is off sick, on leave, or is just not available. If that new teacher has the rights and access to teach that story, they may teach it incorrectly, not being fully aware of the specific situations, and therefore the information becomes distorted.
So isn't it essential that they have access to that information for the purpose of education?
You mean access to the information on how to teach it and all that sort of stuff? Yeah, that could be one thing, but then also the status. So an equivalent might be whether or not it's a subject taught by a professor in the field or a tutorial assistant. It's just the status and the impact that status has, the ceremony that goes with that status and all of that sort of thing.
Continues in part 2.